You pick up the Bible that's in front of you in the pew and turn over with me to the third chapter of the Gospel according to John. John's Gospel at the chapter 3. And we're reading from verse 25 to the end of the chapter. We read together on the Lord's Day morning, and take your time from me, please. The third chapter of John's Gospel and the verse 25. The verse 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I was sent, am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And God will stamp with his own divine seal of approval and blessing this reading from his very own infallible book. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. The third chapter of John's Gospel, and we're looking at verses 25 to 36. The final words of John the Baptist's testimony. John the Baptist was no miracle worker. He was one of the no miracle men of the Bible. In John's Gospel chapter 10 and verse 41, it states, John did no miracle. Mr. Nicholson, the great preacher, great evangelist, in one of his books has a sermon which he calls The Ungifted Worker. On that text, John did no miracle. But I would put my emphasis on the latter part of the text. But all that John spake of this man was true. Because while he did not do miracles in the field of works, he did miracles in the field of speech, because his words were all miracle words. John the Baptist is the most important man ever born of woman by natural generation. That's what the Lord Jesus said. There never was a man before like John the Baptist, and there'll never be a man again like John the Baptist. He was a special man because he was given a special, a supernatural, a unique look at Christ. You know, if you look with me at John's Gospel chapter 1, you'll read in verse 6, there was a man sent from God. That word translated sent in our authorized version in the Greek text has the meaning of there was a man sent from alongside God whose name was John, or was sent from keeping company with God. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. John the Baptist worshipped Christ in the womb of his mother Elizabeth. He's one of the most special persons in the whole of the Bible. Looking at this first chapter of John recently in my own personal Bible readings, I was struck with the names and titles which John gave to the Savior. You will notice in that verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. He called the Savior the light, the special light, the only true light, verse 9, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And then when you come to verse 14, John speaks of Christ as the Word. We read in the first announcement of this gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But John announced that the eternal Word was made flesh. And he talks about the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And he says, we beheld him. He saw him. The eternal Word incarnate. The only begotten Son of God appearing in the flesh. Then when you come farther down the chapter, you will find in verse 18 that he further talks about the only begotten, and he says the only begotten is still with the Father. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten, which is in the bosom of the Father. But isn't he on earth, John? Yes, he's on earth. We have beheld his glory, but he is the omnipresent Christ. He's not only on earth in the flesh, but he is in heaven, and he's everywhere present. That's what he means when he talks about the Word being made flesh. Then when we come to the verse 29, he calls him the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. So he calls him the light. He calls him the Word. He calls him the only begotten Son. He calls him the Lamb of God. Then when you go down the chapter a little more, He tells them that he's the baptizer. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Verse 32. He's the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. When you turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 17, he's a harvester whose span is in his hand. And then when we turn to the portion of Scripture that I hope to expound to you, if not today, on another day, because time is moving very quickly, you have him as the bridegroom. Now, I have often told you from this pulpit, I don't know how much of it has sunk in, but I have often told you in any list of names in the Bible, an uneven number of names or descriptions, that they are all very important, and what you have to do, you have to find the middle one of what is mentioned. So if you get five names, or here we have seven names, you look for the fourth one, and that is the center. And that throws light upon the first three and the last three. Take these seven names. Right at their center, there stands the title, the Lamb of God. For the cross is central in the gospel revelation. The modernists preach a crossless gospel. But the gospel of the Bible is the gospel of the cross. It's Christ crucified that reveals the plan and generates the power to save the sinner. And every saved man and woman in this meeting today can sing, at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. Was there by faith I received my sight, but now I am happy all the day. But in any group of seven in the Bible, the first one and the last one go together. And the first one here is, of course, the light. And the last one is the bridegroom. The bridegroom speaks of heaven, the city of light. The bridegroom speaks of the great marriage supper of the Lamb. It speaks of a city where there is no night there, for the Lamb is the light thereof. So you take the light and you shine it on these names, and they bring out the full power. Here is a man, a rugged man with a camel hair coat, with a leathern girdle, and with a vegetarian diet. And he's standing preaching, but he has seen the Lord. And what has he seen? He's seen the beginning. What happened in the beginning? God said, let there be light, and there was light. This earth and time started with the coming of light. But there's no end in the great revelation of God. He's going to take us to the city of God. He's going to let us sit down at the great marriage supper of the Lamb, and there will be light forever. Night has gone and light forever. Why? Because the central one, the Lamb, is the light thereof. Now, in any scripture list of seven, the second one and the sixth one are joined. What is the second one? The second one is the Word. And what is the sixth one? The sixth one is the harvester. The man with a fan in his hand who will freely purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. It's not hard to see, is it, the relationship between that. All the judgment of God, all the purging of the floor, all the gathering of the wheat, all the burning of the chaff is carried out by the Word of God. In the final judgment, the books will be opened. The books. That's the books from Genesis to Malachi and from Malachi to from Matthew to Revelation. And they'll be judged by what's written in these books. These books. The Word of God. This abides forever. Everything you see around you is going to disappear. But there's one thing that'll never disappear. The Word of God abideth forever. It abideth forever. Heaven will pass away. Earth will pass away. But there's one thing. The eternal Word of the eternal God shall never pass away. So a man came to Mr. Nicholson one day, and he said, Nicholson, all you have for your salvation is a bit of paper with writing on it. And Nicholson said, hallelujah. But remember whose writing is on it. It's the Word of God that's on it. God's Word will not pass away. Don't depend on feelings. Depend upon the Word. The Word of God never changes. It's still in the book. Man, the old devil would like you to get into subjectivism and look into your heart. Well, if you look into your heart, you'll be miserable. But if you look to your Lord, you'll be happy. So don't be searching your heart to find out anything. Look up to Christ. Salvation is objective. It's not in ourselves. It's in Christ. I look out to Christ. And He never changes. Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if I'm saved now, I'll be saved tomorrow. I'll be saved 10,000 billion years. From today, I'll still be saved. Word of God abideth forever. Put a smile on your face. Don't look so miserable. Your heavenly Father hasn't died. And He has left you everything anyway. In His will says everything is for my people. So rejoice. Look heavy. God is on the throne. And God says, through the words of this great man, He tells us He is the Word. But He's also garner. Are you chaff or are you wheat? That's the great question. Because the wheat will be gathered and preserved. The chaff will be burned with fire. Make sure you're wheat and not chaff. And then the third and the fifth one go together. And the third, of course, is the latter part of that first verse that we have been looking at concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. We beheld. We saw. We saw. This is all about seeing. We saw His glory. How do you see the glory of God? Through the light of God. The light shines. The light is the first title mentioned. It shines upon them all. Illuminates them. The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then the fifth one that lines up with that is He's the baptizer with the Holy Ghost and fire. And I tell you, if you're baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, the one you will see will be this Lord Jesus Christ. To get a vision of Christ, the Holy Spirit's work is not to speak of Himself, but to speak of the blessed Lord Jesus himself. So here we have Christ the light, Christ the word, Christ the son, Christ the lamb, Christ the baptizer, Christ the harvester, and Christ the bridegroom. Now let's come over to the third chapter. I'm just about getting to my text now. I went to go to Royal Avenue, but I went round the embankment, and I went the long road, and there was a bit of a barricade there in Ormond Road. You'd expect a barricade there. But we've got there. We've got now to this portion of Scripture. And this portion of Scripture reveals another seven things. The last testimony of this man, starting off with the bridegroom, and then we have another seven things about Christ. Now, I'm not going to give you those seven things, for you wouldn't come back next Sunday to hear the next part of this message. But if you look, you'll find seven pictures here of Christ, including the first one of the bridegroom. You know, when I saw that there, I said, there's something good in this about this bridegroom. And I said, I must now do put into practice some laws of interpretation. If you want to find out about something in the Bible, there's laws of interpretation you have to follow. And there are three laws. There's the law of the first mention. Where is a bridegroom first mentioned in the Bible? You have to find that out. Then there is the law of the further mention. And then there's the law of the final mention. And this Bible is such a wonderful book that in every subject, whether it be a tree or a river or a city or a person or a doctrine or a word, the first time it occurs in the Bible gives you the key to every other time. Remember finding this out. Of course, could I recommend to you a great book by Arthur W. Pink on the interpretation of Scripture? If I had got that book as a young man, of course it wasn't printed, for I'm so old, it came out after it was printed, I was well on. Let me tell you this. He sets out what all Bible students know about interpreting the Bible. And it made the Bible a new book to me. I remember looking up the word sweat. Where does the word sweat first occur in the Bible? After the fall. Sweat of your brow, you'll eat bread. So I said, this sweat is to do with sin. Of course it has. If there had been no sin, there'd be no sweat. And all the people that try to sell you things to keep you from sweating, all the ointments and all the... Yes, they have been out of business. Completely and totally out of business. Sweat has to do with sin. And then I said, well, what about the law of the second mention? Second time, sweat is mentioned. It's mentioned in the book of Ezekiel. And it says that the priests were to wear linen so that they would not sweat when they carried out the services of the sanctuary. Because that which represented sin could not be represented in the house of God. And then I was taken for the last reference to sweat. And there's only three references to sweat in the whole Bible. So it makes it more simple. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And that impressed in me the importance of this law of interpretation. Of course, there are many other laws of interpretation. I think Mr. Pink lists something like 33 laws of biblical interpretation. I was preaching some months ago in this church, and I mentioned this, and there was a prominent gentleman there, and he said, Ian, I was very interested in that. I'd like to go a bit farther with it. So I got him a copy of Pink's book, and I was talking to him the other day, and I said, what do you think of it? Well, he said, I was sort of half-believing, unbelieving, when I heard you say it, but by that book makes it so clear, so plain. Oh, let me tell you, if we only examined this book as God wants it to examine, we would behold wondrous things out of God's law. We don't see the wonder because we don't go for God's way of interpretation. Well, what's the first mention of a bridegroom in the Bible? Turn over to Psalm 19. Psalm numbered 19. And in Psalm 19, we read these words. And this psalm, of course, is an important psalm because it's the book. Two books are opened in this psalm. The book of creation and the book of inspiration. The heavens declare the glory of God. And that goes on down to verse 6. And that's the end of the book of creation. And then we come to the book of inspiration. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. First mention of bridegroom is about the sun is pictured as a bridegroom. Verse 4, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Very interesting. This, of course, is a beautiful prophecy. It's the taking the sun as a type of the Son of God. Because the Son of God is recorded in the Old Testament as being the Son, S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness, who has arisen with healing in his wings. You'll notice some things about the Son here. It cometh out of his chamber. Here we have the bridegroom concealed, and then the bridegroom revealed. And praise God, there was a day when the Son of Righteousness came out of its chamber, and he became incarnate in the flesh. And he was seen. Paul, writing to young Timothy, says he was seen of angels. Angels have never seen him before. They've heard him speak. They'll veil their faces before the holy everlasting throne of the triune Jehovah deity. But they've never seen him. But for the first time, angels saw God. He was seen of angels. He came out of his chamber. He was seen. He was a bridegroom concealed in eternity, but in time he became the bridegroom revealed. And he came forth rejoicing. Came forth rejoicing. And I thought of that verse, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He came rejoicingly to die for sinners. And thank God to die for me, a sinner. Rejoices. And he rejoices as a strong man. And in the Bible we read of that stronger than the strong man, who takes the devil, ties him up, and robs him of his captive. When the stronger than the strong man has come, he ties up the strong man and he robs him of his goods to run a race.
And I thought of the race that Jesus ran. What a long race it was from eternity into time. Do you ever think of that? We hear about people breaking the time bar. I remember the first time I flew to the United States of America in Concorde. And there was an old lady sitting beside me, a very elderly lady. And she said, I'm very scared, mister. I said, what are you scared about? But she says, I've never really flown anywhere before, long distance. And she says, my son has been in Canada for over 40 years and he wanted me to come out and meet him, meet the family. And he said, mother, I'll pay your way by Concorde, so it'll be a short flight. But she said, I see this little notice on the side of the cabin here. And it indicates when we break the sound bar. Now she said, would you mind if when we come to that, I take hold of your arm? And I said, no, I don't mind. If I'd have known what was going to happen, I would have minded. And I said, no, I don't. So we came up and she saw it and she got paler and paler. And I said, look, I just want to tell you, dear, you'll not believe me. But nothing's going to happen. I'll not even shiver. He said, I wish I could believe you. Well, I said, you shouldn't call me a liar anyway. But you'll see. So, of course, it happened. We passed the sound bar and nothing happened. But before it came to it, she dug her nails into my coat. She nearly tore my coat. And certainly my arm, I'm very easy marked, my arm was just showed the effect of her long nails into. But then it came to the second time when we broke the sound bar. Broke it twice. And she got really scared. And she nearly tore the arm off me. But nothing happened. But my friend, there was one who didn't break the time barrier or the sound barrier. There was one who broke the barrier of eternity and time. He crossed the great divide. He ran the race for our redemption. He not only ran to Bethlehem, but he ran to Calvary. He not only ran to Calvary, but he died and ran into the depths of the earth and set captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And he ran out of the tomb and he climbed the stairway to heaven and he's at God's right hand. He rejoiced as one, as a strong man who had run the race. And because he ran the race, praise God, he's the bridegroom of the church. Yes. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Make sure, my friend, you're part of the bride.